Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of 3GT, where typically three guys get together and talk and theologize about topics spanning the globe. Today we are absent one. Kyle Borg is not with Barry and I today. He's been traveling, being a bit of a globetrotter himself. He was over in Scotland for a time. Is that right, Barry?
That's what I heard.
And now I think he's back on the a cruise with his lovely bride.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, planting rural churches in Scotland and the islands of the Atlantic Ocean or something like that. I don't know what he's doing, but it sounds like he's having a good time.
Well, that's good. Last time he did this, I said he was on the Sodom and Gomorrah of the seas, and I won't do that this time.
Yeah.
But alas, we go on without him. We do miss him. We hope he's having a good time. But in his stead, we have invited some guests on our show today. We want to talk a little bit about some of the things going on at the seminary there, the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary, where Barry, you are the president. And our guests today are Mark and Sharon Sampson. And Barry, I thought it might be good for you to kind of give us a brief introduction to who Mark and Sharon are.
Yeah, it's a great privilege. Mark and Sharon are dear to RPTS. Mark serves as our director of development, as well as the CAO of RPTS. And his wife, Sharon, wears maybe even more hats than Mark does. She helps assist over at our Biblical Counseling Institute to Professor Keith Evans. She does things such as help our Doctor of Minister program. She does financial aid, marketing. She does lots of things for RPTS. So they're invaluable to the seminary, and they're also just a delight to work with. They're good friends, and so we're very thankful to have you, Mark and Sharon, on the program today.
Well, we really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you all. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
Well, it probably would be good for the listeners who are not familiar with you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your marriage, your role at RPTS, what it's like to work together. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, we met in high school. Matter of fact, Sharon was still in high school when we got engaged, and we're just shy of 35 years now of marriage together.
Congratulations. And,
well, thank you. And about 10 years ago, many people know Dr. Jerry O'Neill, and Jerry always has a plan for everybody's life, and part of that was for Sharon and I to end up doing some work at the seminary, and so I came on board first, and then a year later, Sharon joined, and I think we both agree that it's pretty awesome being married, but it's even more awesome to get to work together. So literally we spend our entire day together. Well, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather spend my day with than my wife and get paid for it too. So.
Mark, I understand that you are the director of development there at RPTS. So I think it'd be helpful to give the listeners a little bit of an idea of what it is you do as the director of development.
That's a really good question of what that means. And as director of development, part of my responsibility is to help tell the stories of the seminary, helping people understand what takes place here, and finding if there's interest in supporting the seminary through prayer or finances or volunteering, lots of different things that are possible that way. So that occupies a large amount of time. Also looking for grants from charitable foundations and other things like that. Of course, Dr. York, Barry, always has some other interesting things for us to look at as well.
That is interesting. I also have been told that you may be the director of seminary pranks, but I won't ask you about that at this time. We may save that for another time. Sharon, what about you in your role with the Biblical Counseling Institute and other things around the seminary? Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do at the seminary.
Sure. So, my office is actually across the street in another building in the Wilson Center. So one of our family jokes is that we have two Korings here at the seminary, and it's one is in Mark's office on one side of the street, and my card machine is in my office on the other side of the street, where Keith Evans and I work in the Biblical Counseling Institute. So I do the counseling for the women, and also manage the administrative aspect of the counseling center, scheduling appointments when people call in, arranging for students to sit in and observe live counseling, or do some of the counseling themselves. We currently have three students who are counseling under Professor Evans' supervision. So that's a wonderful part of my work that I enjoy. I do financial aid, so our family joke on that is that Mark finds the money and I give it away. that's a great thing to be able to help students have scholarships for their education. I also work with reaccreditation and assessments, and again, as Barry mentioned, I help C.J. Williams in the Doctor of Ministry program. So a lot of different things, and I love the variety.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a pretty busy lady, right?
For sure.
So in order to get these jobs as, you know, directors and part of the Biblical Counseling, I imagine you had to have some type of schooling. Is that right? Did you guys go to school?
Sure. Well, it's funny. At one point, Mark and I were asked to lead a college program for one of our presbytery camps, and Mark laughed and he said, "Well, sure, we'll do the college program, but I flunked out and Sharon didn't go to college."
I eventually did go back and graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Human Resources from Neva College.
Okay.
And my education is mostly from a lot of experience over many years doing many different things. So I actually never earned an undergrad degree.
Okay.
But that didn't keep them from learning, because they've also both then gone on to do studies at RPTS.
Yeah, tell me about that. Tell me about the studies you did at RPTS then.
Well, one of the programs that the seminary offers is the Master of Theological Studies. It's in a full-time program. You do that in about 2 years worth of study time. We took a little bit longer to do since we worked full-time. It took me 8 years to do that program. Sharon, I think you finished in 7 years.
Yeah, I finished in 7 years. My path was a little bit different. Seminary over the years has had a variety of different certificate and diploma programs. Started in a biblical counseling certificate program that we had at the time, and then having finished that, petitioned to transfer into the MTS program. So I actually started in a different program and then transferred into the MTS.
So tell me a little bit about this Master of Theological Studies program. What is it? What is it that you study?
Yeah, so when people ask, the easiest way to describe it to folks is the MDiv program is 3 years, MTS is 2 years, and so we describe it as it's like the MDiv program without the preaching and the languages. So it's 1 year shorter, but many of the courses that you would find in the MDiv program are mirrored in the MTS program as well.
Okay. Are there concentrations you can get? I know in, you know, some MDiv programs you can concentrate in one area or another. Can you do that in this program?
Yeah, there are several concentrations. The first is Biblical Studies. Another is Doctrinal and Historical Studies. And then the concentration that we both took is in Biblical Counseling. this is an emphasis on use of scripture and discipleship and counseling within and without the outside of the church.
So I have kind of an outside question. In your studies, did you ever have Dr. York as a professor?
Yes.
Well, yes for Mark, no for me. So.
Okay.
Sharon avoided me.
I will ask the question that everybody wants to know is how is he as a professor, but I've sat underneath his preaching. I know he's a wonderful preacher. I'm sure he's just as good a professor as a preacher.
I had a preaching class with him, and he was very honest and encouraging in his assessment of not only my work, but my fellow peers in class. So
yeah,
fair shake.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's been honest in his assessment of my hosting of this show sometimes, which is hurtful, but I try to use it.
Only if he docks you 5 points for going over in length.
But one of the great things about the programs is the flexibility. So while Mark was not in the MDiv program, he was able to take the intro to preaching class as an elective. And while the languages aren't required for MTS students, I had a particular interest in Greek. So I was able to use electives and go through the entire Greek program. So it really is a wonderful opportunity to choose one of these three concentrations. But even with that, have flexibility to take some additional courses where you have interest.
And Scott, one of the things I might just add to this is that one of the neat things about the MTS is I think it helps strengthen the church. So it, you're not required to, in taking this degree, then to become a pastor. It's a degree that I think God's people could really benefit from. There's a lot of interest out in the church in theological studies. A lot of people are rediscovering the classics. They're reading. They're listening to podcasts. But to take a little more formal approach and put some work in and really grow and dig into things, write papers, interact with other students, with professors, can really sharpen you and prepare you for a lifetime of service in the church, whether it is teaching in classes, Bible studies, being able to counsel, to come alongside others in the church and encourage them. So I think the MTS degree is a wonderful degree for a layperson to pursue.
Yeah, Barry, I'd really agree with that. At church, I taught a high school Sunday school class for 10 years or so, and often the material was the things I was learning in seminary, and as a ruling elder in the RP church, that training was just incredibly helpful in working within our session and being able to teach Sunday school classes for not only the kids but adults, and then working within the courts of the church as well. I count myself incredibly blessed to have had that opportunity for such in-depth and intense study, not to mention my own personal growth that comes out of actually being in class together. I'll admit maybe a little bit of competition on my side of things for who got the better grades, but let me be the first to say that my GPA was not as high as Sharon's. So
yeah, that's tough competition.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah. One of the other things I'm excited about with respect to the MTS is we're adding a component with one of our new professors, Professor Whitla. Dr. Whitla is going to be doing a dynamics of teaching course that's going to be added to the MTS. And I'm really excited. I think this just will even further strengthen the program in ways that Mark was mentioning.
Yeah, well, and one of the blessings is that, because the courses are available to students in the various programs, this teaching course and a speaking course that has been part of the MTS for years are often, very popular courses for the MDiv students as well. And so there's carryover between the programs, and the electives allow folks to really benefit from all the offerings. And I would say for myself, taking the biblical counseling concentration has been a huge benefit to me in interacting with women in the church. Women are always counseling women, always interacting with each other and seeking advice on topics. And so it's a real blessing to be able to study how to interact with people, always based on God's word as the foundation. So I've found that that's been a huge blessing to me and something that I think a lot more women ought to avail themselves of, whether they're younger women, looking for a degree after finishing an undergrad degree, or older women such as myself who are in their empty nest years, looking for ways to be trained to more faithfully serve in the kingdom.
Well, and I love hearing about all this. So that, which naturally leads me to my next question, which is, assume for a minute that, I'm the parishioner here on 3GT. And assume that I was thinking about getting this, the Master of Theological Studies, considering it, weighing the pros and cons. What are some things that you would tell me, and encourage me as I was thinking about these things?
Recruit him.
Well, first of all, one of the great things about the MTS degree is that in both the biblical studies and the doctrinal and historical studies, both of those concentrations are fully available online. It's a wonderful option for folks who don't live in Pennsylvania and don't want to relocate. So those two concentrations are available fully online. The biblical counseling concentration, a lot of it can be done online, but our program is very unique in that it has practical components, live counseling our students sit in on, and our students counsel people from the community, and so that concentration is not available online, but we have had students begin online and then come on campus, and there's that benefit that students can do it at a distance at their own pace.
And how does the online program work then? Is it lectures online? Is it work that you submit to a professor for grades? How does the online component work? Because if Barry is trying to recruit me, that is probably how it would have to be done on my end.
Well, that's a very common question, because often people think it means I have to be available when the class is being taught physically, and that's not the case. We don't stream live. We record things, and then the student at home is able to dial in and bring up the lectures as they have time in their schedule. So if you want to do it at 2 a.m. when the kids are asleep, awesome. You can do that. So it has a fair amount of flexibility within the program. You still need to do your coursework within the same quarter that everybody else is studying. So it's not like you get to take an entire year to do one course. You're still confined to some time constraints, but otherwise it's pretty flexible to work with who you are and where you are. We have students on almost every continent doing online lectures in huge metropolitan cities and in very small villages in Africa or other places like that. So as long as you have an internet connection, you can do the studies.
Yeah. And one of the great things about it, Scott, is that we're recording the classes as they're taking place live. So from a content standpoint, it's the same class material. The guy who's watching the lectures at home, he's watching the lectures as they were recorded during an on-campus class. So there is no difference. The delivery method might be different, but the content itself is the same, and that's wonderful, and that's helpful to our professors because they're one set of lectures are being used for both on-campus and distance students.
The students then have an ability digitally to interact with their professor, so as they have questions, they can work through our student learning system and send their questions to sometimes other students in the class or to the professor. And some of our professors build into their classes interaction between those who are all online students. So they're reading each other's papers and interacting with each other via chat and things like that. So it's not quite like being in the classroom, but digitally it's pretty close.
That's part of the reason we like to have the time set so that they're taking the classes along with the on-campus students, because we are trying to work at creating more community so that they do feel a part of what we're doing at RPTS and not just out there watching a video and feeling distant from what we're seeking to accomplish.
And but at the same time, it sounds like that, you know, somebody with a full-time job, a career as it were, can take these classes and maintain his or her current career and not have to sacrifice that in order to get your master's degree.
That's correct. Yeah. So we'll have a student, for instance, if they were a full-time student trying to accomplish this in 2 years, a full-time student would be taking usually about 5 classes per quarter. But a lot of times we'll have people who are working almost reverse that. They'll take 2 classes per quarter and do the degree over 5 years. So a lot of our students are no longer what we would call traditional students, where they're trying to accomplish the program in the, when we call it a 2-year or 3-year time frame, they're extending it over a longer period of time, which I don't think is such a bad thing. I think it allows lessons to sink in more deeply, applications to be made in the context of your life and ministry. So I think there's a lot of positives in just doing some constant ongoing study for students, much like Mark and Sharon did.
I've also heard something about the Capstone Project. Could you share with the audience what the Capstone Project is?
It's one of the last classes that you end up taking in the MTS program, and it's really an encapsulation of all of the classes that you have taken. And there's a lot of discussion about those different classes and how they've helped shape you and form you for ministry. But an outworking of that is a project that's something specific to the concentration that you are doing. So my concentration of biblical counseling, I wanted to do something with the Psalms and Psalms in use of biblical counseling. And I remember my first worship service in an RP church, and I noticed that there wasn't anybody under the age of 25 even looking at their Psalter. These young folks had the Psalms entirely memorized. And think about advertising and things like that in our world today. Anything attached to music helps you remember. So I wanted to work in a project where we would take the Psalms and find Psalms that are particular to challenges that people are having, maybe anxiety or depression or different things like that. Well, what are the Psalms that speak to that? And then correlate those together with the recordings that are available so that you could kind of use this as a help tool. Well, I'm anxious right now. I wonder what Psalms I should be singing to myself, and actually encouraging people to listen and sing along, driving those truths more deeply into their hearts.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that the MTS degree has a Capstone Project because it's considered an academic degree. And so the program requires that, but the flexibility that's there is really what the student has a passion for, what they're interested in. So while it might seem daunting, it's something that's to be focused towards the student's life and ministry. So for example, we had a biblical studies concentration student who explored baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another gal did a simple study in the Greek language. She wanted her church to know some basics of Greek, so she actually built a basic introductory study of Greek. That was her project. The doctrinal and historical studies program, we had one student who had a heart for having biblical theology being used not just by pastors, but as a discipline of their own, but training their congregants. Another recent graduate worked in chaplaincy, and so he did his project on the challenges facing chaplains in ministry. And finally, another student did a project on abortion and how that is approached in other countries and ought to be addressed. So really, the projects are very much self-directed in terms of what would be useful to the student in their sphere of ministry.
I mean, all of this information is very, very helpful and enlightening and encouraging. The last question I have is, how would somebody who is interested in this project find out more? Who can they contact? Where can they go to find out if this is something that would be good for them and would fit their life and their mission?
There's lots of ways you can get a hold of the seminary through the seminary rpts.edu, and there are multiple links there to help folks learn about the different programs that are available. Calling the seminary is always good. We encourage people, if they're able, to actually come for a visit and get a sense for the type of family that we really have here. Where the seminary is located in an old home, and it's like a home. When our students together are just a large family made up of unique and fun people.
Yeah, and Ed Blackwood is our Director of Admissions and Student Services and our Registrar, so he's the point guy. But really, anybody here at the seminary is always available to talk to folks who want to know more about the programs.
Barry, do you have anything to add to that?
Are you ready to sign up? You just go to rpts.edu and go to the admissions tab and fill out the contact information. Scott's pretty easy.
So would you be willing to write a letter of recommendation for me, Barry?
Oh, certainly. And if you don't sign up to be a student, then you have to give. So it's one or the other. Yeah, I'm learning my role pretty well, don't you say?
I think so.
Very well.
I think so. Well, that's all the time that we have for this episode today. I really hope that this has been enlightening to you listeners, as we've talked about this, and perhaps you have some interest. So I would direct you to rpts.edu to sign up or to give to the seminary. Of course, if you want to throw a couple pences our way, you wouldn't mind that either here at 3GTXYZ. So until next time, we thank you for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
This episode of 3GT was sponsored by Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. For more information on how you can benefit from the teachings of RPTS, head on over to their website at rpts.edu. That's rpts.edu.